Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, the number of COVID-19 cases in Singapore topped the 10,000 mark today. And yesterday, Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong announced an extension on circuit breaker measures to choke the spread of the virus. More businesses will be closed to further reduce the number of workers keeping essential services going. And we're joined by Pushan Dutt, a professor of economics and political sciences at INSEAD, to discuss what these measures mean to Singapore and the economy. Pushan, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Now, first, I'd like to ask you, I think the circuit breaker extension was widely expected, on the back of the case numbers that we've been seeing over the last few weeks. What are your key takeaways from what was announced by the Prime Minister yesterday?
So I'm pretty sure that when all your listeners heard the decision that this was getting extended, they all groaned inwardly or outwardly. But at the same time, this was absolutely the right decision. So if you look at the numbers have been on an explosive trajectory. So since March 23rd, the number of cases have been growing on average at about 10% per day, and it's risen to about 14% in the last few days. So this means that the trajectory is explosive because the number of cases double every week. Now, this is mainly confined to the worker dorms, but given how infectious the virus is, there is a risk that it can cross into the wider community via healthcare workers mainly. This could lead to multiple local clusters. So if you isolate the dorms and keep the circuit breaker in place, it means effectively there are two circuit breakers in place. So this is absolutely critical. So it was very necessary.
So do you think after the announcement yesterday that perhaps cases might be close to reaching a peak and we'll start to see a slowdown?
One thing to keep in mind is that, we've seen lots of evidence of asymptomatic infection. So the virus has probably been lingering here for many days within the worker dorms. And it's essentially the ramp up of testing which is showing these numbers. It's not like an explosion of cases. There is an increase in cases, but also we are detecting it. So the lockdown has been working. It takes about 2 to 3 weeks for the curve to flatten and about 2 to 3 weeks for it to bend downwards. We've seen this from other countries as well. So the key number now we should watch for is not how many new cases emerge in the worker dorms, but whether there are new clusters that emerge outside. Second, protecting the health of these workers and especially healthcare workers is very critical. So I'm sure the government is monitoring that this is not spreading to the healthcare sector and therefore putting pressure on doctors and nurses. So I think the extension to June 1st is quite reasonable.
Okay. Do you think it's likely that we may see an extension after that? Or given the trajectory that we've been seeing in other countries, do you think that, this could be it? If everyone stays at home, stays safe, stays healthy, adheres to the measures that, June 1st will kind of be the cutoff. What are your thoughts?
I think we should see a cautious opening up like we're seeing in New Zealand, Germany, Norway, etc. So again, this depends not just on the dynamics of the disease, but it also depends, the dynamics of the disease critically depends on how we behave. If we, all of us collectively behave well, if we, stay inside, if we stay indoors and we exercise the right precautions, then I think we should be able to open up. So the way to think about it is this is short-term pain for, medium to long-term gain. At the same time, there is tremendous amount of uncertainty about the disease. And in the long run, unless we find a vaccine for this disease, we will live in a new normal.
Now, Pushan, I've got to ask you, for businesses, they're going to be closed for one more month. And, kind of looking at it from an economic perspective, it's a difficult balance, weighing our economy, weighing our health, looking at the quality of life from both sides of the spectrum. How do you think, this 1 month extension is going to impact our economic growth going forward? I mean, we've seen Citibank economists today further revising down their GDP estimates for the year. But what are your thoughts?
So I think it's best to think of this on the economic front, that this is a catastrophe, that this is not a crisis, that it's going to get worse than the Great Depression. So the IMF, for instance, estimates that the world as a whole will contract by about 3%, and advanced economies like Singapore will contract by about 6%. I think these are actually optimistic forecasts. I think things might be even worse. But at the same time, amongst economists, there's near consensus that lives take precedence over livelihood. Keep in mind that there is a huge asymmetry between lockdown and opening up. So the government today is telling us to stay at home. Now, if it opens up and there are still lots of infections out in the larger community, they cannot force me to go and get a haircut or take a cruise ship or things like that. We also have some historical evidence from the Spanish flu of 1917, where you see that the cities that went lockdown fastest and hardest, they actually recovered quicker and higher growth rates. So prioritizing lives is actually better for the economy as well.
And you kind of touched on a key point. I mean, obviously, that's a major point. But also looking at Singapore, we're a very open, very global economy. And, you know, we're now living in a highly globalized world. Post-circuit breaker measures, what steps do you think need to be taken to open up the economy and minimize the risk of, you know, secondary infection after this?
So I think these are really difficult questions in terms of this. I think going forward, if you really want a return to the world as it was, okay, it's important not just that, you know, the virus dies down in Singapore. We actually need a synchronous end to the epidemic everywhere. From Singapore's perspective, we are extremely globalized, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, all travel here is international travel. So until all the other countries, neighbors, elsewhere, trading partners, until they are also free of the virus, it's going to be very hard for Singapore to exist in this kind of a world, because there will be this risk of secondary waves of infection. So how do you minimize that? The way forward would be like the kind of, you build ties with countries which have had done a good job, like New Zealand, Australia, perhaps China, etc. So opening up within the economy will be slow. Opening up globally will also be slow. And we might live in a very, very different world once this epidemic is over.
We're speaking to Bhushan Dutt, Professor of Economics and Political Sciences at INSEAD. Now, Bhushan, I have to ask you, what advice would you give to businesses as we extend the circuit breaker measures for another month?
So businesses have to ask themselves a bunch of questions. The first thing, of course, they have to ask themselves is, where is your market? If your market is Singapore, then you pay attention to what's going on in Singapore. On the other hand, if you're export-oriented and if your market is China, then there is some reason for optimism. Second, the businesses have to ask themselves that, are you essential or non-essential? If you are non-essential, then the weight will depend on the disease dynamics. If you're export-oriented, the disease dynamics are sort of global. Are you in manufacturing or services? So if the business is in service, if you're in the service sector, then even when it opens up, the sales will not rebound sharply. Mm. Along the way, they have to think of themselves as putting their business on ice, that it will go to sleep and then slowly reawaken. So, you know, how do you make sure that the business survives up to the reopening phase and up to the restoration of normal? So take advantage of all the policy tools, take advantage of all the fiscal packages, pay attention to liquidity, think about automation, think about different channels of serving your customers. The list is very, very big.
And so what lessons do you think we can learn from the approach that we've taken here in Singapore?
I think Singapore has done a really good job in terms of, you know, how it has actually dealt with this virus, despite this explosion in cases. You know, a country cannot get everything right. And it also tells us that there are many of these unknown unknowns. So let's step back and think about what Singapore did. Most countries, they do the following. They go through the cycle of panic and neglect. So they panic during an pandemic or an epidemic, and then it morphs into neglect as soon as it is over. So what is critical is what a country does when there is no pandemic. Did it learn the right lessons? Did it make the right investments? Did it adopt the right policies? And here I think Singapore has done really well in terms of building up health infrastructure, paying attention to expertise and competence, clear messaging strategy, transparency. Once you have these fundamentals in place, I think you are in a much better position in dealing with either, you know, what is happening currently and future shocks. So building competence and expertise and legitimacy with the population is far more important than anything else.
So what do you think Singapore is going to look like in a post-COVID-19 world?
So in a post-COVID-19 world, so now we are in like doing futurology, but...
get your crystal ball out, Bhushan.
Yeah. So I think all we can do at this point is just ask a series of questions. Okay, so from Singapore's perspective, Singapore has to ask itself that, how do I thrive in a world where there is a reverse of globalization? There is going to be deglobalization. Today we are seeing the U.S. is stopping its closing of its borders to immigration. It has already invoked a trade war. So how do we thrive in that sort of a world? What kind of industries and sectors does Singapore want to attract here? It has to ask really hard questions like, do we need better social safety nets? Do we need unemployment insurance? Traditionally, Singaporean policymakers have been afraid of unemployment insurance, that it creates moral hazard, that people actually decide not to go back to work. But now there is a trade-off. In a pandemic, unemployment insurance is a very efficient and effective way of providing direct cash transfers to workers. How do we attract talented people when, you know, people get used to telecommuting? How do we accelerate automation, and especially in high-end manufacturing? So I think it requires a deep look into Singapore's future strategy and taking a long-term perspective.
So last question, you know, I want to ask you. Today is the Golden Jubilee of Earth Day. And, you know, as we're kind of gazing forward, looking into your crystal ball, do you think the current COVID crisis really reflects a need to think more sustainably in terms of how we're growing our economy, how we're growing our businesses?
One thing which is nice about this crisis, which, you know, restores my faith in humanity, is how we sort of all decided to stay at home. Okay, and we are doing, all of us are doing our level best to make sure that, you know, that the virus dies out now, which means that we can be sufficiently motivated to tackle big existential issues. And global warming and climate change is exactly like that. There is one key difference, though. Global warming, climate change is like boiling a frog slowly. There is nothing like, you know, suddenly your head sector goes over and thousands of people die. And that makes me worried that, you know, we will go back to this phase of neglect and, you know, and think that this is too far away.
Okay, well, thank you for your time, Bhushan. We've been speaking to Bhushan Dutt, Professor of the Economics and Political Sciences at INSEAD.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.